Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. God is merciful, but He will punish the unjust. This is not a contradiction. In His mercy, God, through Jesus Christ, bore the punishment that we deserve when He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins. However, if you have not trusted in Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, then you will have to bear the punishment for your sins. Repent today, and you can be freed from your sin debt. Please open your Bible to Psalm 103, verse 2, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of this Psalm of David.
How much of my fear, anxiety, anger, and discouragement is wholly due to my forgetting your benefits, forgetting all you've given me and promised me in Christ, and being thankful for them. I was approached one time, and a saint, dear saint in the Lord, said, "Pastor Ray, how much would you have today, or if you only had today what you thanked God for yesterday?" Learning to be thankful. Thankful for the littlest things. To be thankful, to be content. There is something about contentment. One of the most beautiful, encouraging Puritan books is The Precious Jewel of Contentment. It's a great little book. It's a fascinating read. Great one if you can pick it up. Look at all of these benefits that the Lord has given to us. Our sins are forgiven. He heals our diseases. Now, some of you may say, "Well, wait a minute. What about all of those loved ones that have gone to glory with diseases? They're healed." They're healed. Every illness, every sickness, every disease is going to be healed. He redeems our life from destruction. How many times, if God gave me what I wanted, would my life be destroyed? He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things and sometimes with good wings. He satisfies. He's a satisfying God. He renews us. And then it says, "The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed or exploited." I love this passage of Scripture because statistics have proved that this has been a year where many people have been overwhelmed statistically by oppression and by depression. And yet the Lord Jesus is revealed in Scripture as the one who is our refuge. In Psalm 9, verse 9, "The Lord also will be a refuge or a stronghold or a safe haven for the oppressed," those that are crushed, those that are pressed down, a refuge in times of trouble. And every one of us will experience those times of trouble, won't we? Many of us have. Those times when we are pressed down, those times when we are crushed, and the Lord says, "I'm going to be here for you, Raymond. I will be your stronghold. I will be your safe haven." How we need to remember that. I love that passage in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, where it says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." How many of you know that the devil still oppresses people? Oh yeah, the word "oppressed" means he vexes you, he harasses you, he torments you, he annoys you. And yet Jesus goes about healing, delivering people that are oppressed of the devil. You know, he still does that tonight. He still does here tonight in the spirit what he did physically on earth 2,000 years ago. For those of you that are here, or those of you that are watching online that are feeling that dark cloud of oppression, you're feeling harassed, you're feeling tormented, you're feeling annoyed, the Lord is there for you. And I'll tell you one thing, one of the things that combats when you're feeling like that is where we started. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the prophet Isaiah said, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. When you determine to bless God and thank God and worship God, when you are being harassed, the enemy doesn't like to stand around, to be around an atmosphere of praise. That's what annoys him. That's what vexes him. That's what troubles him. And if you can't find it in your heart to cry out, put on some praise music and just lift your hands and go along with the worship. He is the deliverer. Worship brings the oxygen of heaven, the atmosphere of heaven in those dark places. Praise God for that tonight. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Again, mercy. He's compassionate. He's gracious. He's slow to anger. Psalm 145, verse 8 says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Now, it's interesting. Verse 8 is based on God's, let's call it, self-portrait given to Moses on Mount Sinai, which has the golden calf incident in the background. Moses says, show me your glory. And the Lord responded, he passed before him, Exodus 34, verse 6, and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and in truth. Verse 8 is astonishing. Think of this. Because it quotes Exodus 34, 6, and then goes on to say in Exodus 34, verse 7, God does not leave the guilty unpunished. Uh-oh, do we have a problem? No. How can Moses in Exodus be right to say that God will not let sin go unpunished, and David here also be right in saying that He will not punish us as we deserve? The answer? The cross of Jesus Christ. Only the cross of Jesus Christ reveals what it cost God to punish sin without punishing us. He's merciful. Now, let me read verse 9 and 10 as it is translated by the NIV, and then we'll look at the verses. The NIV of verses 9 and 10 read this way. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Now the old King James says in verse 9, He will not always chide. The word chide speaks of disputes that are brought before a court of law. Neither will He keep His anger forever. And these words contrast God's generosity and the heavy-handed wrath of man, who love to hold on to bitterness, who love to nurse their grievances. God is not like that. Aren't you glad? God not only tempers His wrath, but deals with the justice due to our sins by taking them upon His Son. If the Lord were to constantly accuse or remain angry forever, no one would be left. Isaiah 54, 7 and 8 says, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. Because Christ bore the wrath of God, we will never taste the wrath of God. And look at verse 10. I mean, this is like a hot fudge sundae supreme. Evidently, you don't like hot fudge sundaes as much as I do. Look at verse 10. He has not dealt with us after our sins. How many of you are grateful for that? You see, here's where we tend to only get half the picture. We usually think of God not dealing with us after our sins because of the sins we've done outwardly. That includes the things we've thought about doing inwardly. Yeah. you hear that? There was a confirmation from the MLB network. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Now, the word sins here in the Hebrew refers to actual commissions and omissions, specific misdemeanors. Iniquities point to the hidden ways or defects in human nature that gives rise to hideous sin. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, that's pretty high, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Just as the heavens overarch the whole earth, Yahweh's unfailing mercy and committed love towards his people prevails. And it's interesting because the same verb is used of the floodwaters covering the earth in Genesis chapter 7, verses 18 through 20. What a picture of God's mercy towards us tonight. What a picture. As far as the east is from the west, that's immeasurable. So far has he removed our transgressions from us. Now that word transgressions is willful rebellion, which says no to the will of God. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Hebrews 8:12 says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." You know, any direction you go from the North Pole is immediately south. You go to the South Pole and then you're going north. There's a definite distance that can be determined between the North and the South Pole. But you can go east tonight, and you can travel east the rest of your life, and you're always going to be going east. Or you can travel west tonight, and you can continue traveling west the rest of your life. God says, as far as the east is from the west, immeasurable. So far has he removed our transgressions from us. Doesn't mean that God forgets them. He knows everything. He chooses not to remember them. Now, if God doesn't remember your past sins, then who is it that brings them up to you? People that don't like you, or yourself, or who is the accuser of the brethren? The devil. God has wiped the slate. That's grace. He's wiped the slate. He's blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Christ took it out of the way on the cross. That's what the Bible teaches. And verses 10 through 12 basically is the gospel in a nutshell. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." And here it is. "For I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." That is the gospel. That's good news. That's good news. Do you still believe that that's good news tonight? Remember when you first heard the gospel? Oh, yeah. So forgiven. Totally forgiven. Awesomely forgiven. Then you're saved for 30 years. I'm forgiven. The good news. The wonder and infinite glory of God's love and forgiveness for you and me. Nothing could communicate the heights of God's love for sinners more than John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." We're forgiven tonight by a holy, merciful God. We are completely forgiven. The debt has been paid. And now, here we are tonight. Look at us. Look at us. There is a massive amount of grace and mercy in this room tonight. All given to us by our glorious God. Look at verse 13. Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. What does it mean to fear God? It doesn't mean to be afraid of him. It means to be in awe of him. It speaks of not wanting to misrepresent him. It speaks of wanting to please him. Like as a father pities his children, as adopted children of God through grace in Christ, we have a father who pities us. Do you believe that tonight? James 5:11 tells us that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. This, along with so many other passages, reminds me how God knows us far better than we know ourselves. He pities us. It's a term of warmth, a term of affection. And how many times we find what God has done for us, he wants us to manifest toward one another. For in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, we are exhorted as brothers and sisters to be pitiful towards one another. Again, Tim Keller said this beautifully. Lord, I praise you for making yourself not just my king and my shepherd, but my father. To think of the omnipotent God as my father, infinite power, gentle for me, loving me, and working all things for my good, transform my prayer life through a deeper grasp of your fatherly love for me. Lord, you love me. Now, do you wrestle with that sometimes? I do. I know it's true, but I do. It's too good to be true. But that weakness is only because sometimes there's this manifestation or this thinking that God is just a larger extension. God forbid, I don't think this. A larger extension of me. His love is perfect. He pities us with a perfect pity. You ever pity your children? How many of you with children have ever pitied them? I'm not talking about who was it, Mr. T with the, who was that? Pity the fool. No, not like that. No, not that. Well, like my grandkids, you know, I see them doing some of the craziest things. I go, oh, you kids. And you have pity for them. Your heart breaks for them. He is a merciful and faithful high priest who pities us, who loves us. And look at verse 14. This, he knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. Do you remember that you're but dust? I think we are so often disappointed in ourselves because we forget one important redemption truth. Yes, we are new creatures. Yes, we are totally forgiven. But we are still dwelling in very imperfect clay pots. Have you ever been disappointed in yourself? Have other people ever disappointed you? That's just because we forgot that they're but dust. We're a room full of redeemed dust. I remember hearing the story of a little girl that just had an amazing Sunday school class, and where the teacher taught her that God made us out of dust. And so she immediately went home and went up into her bedroom, and she looked under her bed for a toy and yelled out, "Mom! Mom! Mom! Come up here, please!" So mom thought she had some kind of an injury and nothing like that. And the little girl's looking under the bed and she says, "Mom, look under my bed. I don't know if someone's coming or going." And you found a mound of dust. We're dust. He knows our frame. He pities us. And look at this. Talk about brevity of life. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. We are so mortal. Our life is like grass. We flourish like a flower in the field. The wind blows over us and we're gone. What is life? We're told in James that our life is like a vapor. It appears for a moment and then it vanishes away. Augustine once said these words, quote, "We are made for God and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in God. But the mercy of the Lord," verse 17, "is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his commandment, and to those that remember his commandments to do them." God's righteousness is mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. The Bible tells us that God redeemed us in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's amazing, isn't it? Before he created the universe, in Christ, who was slain from the foundation of the world, he chose you and me. That's amazing. That's what the Bible talks about. Predestination, being elected. God chose you and me in Christ before the foundation of the world. Amazing. His adopted children. Look at verse 19. Reminds us, who is in control of all of the crazy things that have happened, not only in the past year, but ever since man fell. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Do you praise God for his sovereignty? I do. I do. To him, you and I are not nameless, faceless blobs in an endless ocean of people. The absolute authority of God can never be exaggerated. It should never be diminished. We are all here tonight because of his gift of life and by the grace of God, his gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He has prepared his throne in the heavens and his kingdom rules over all. You believe that tonight? He rules over everything. He's omniscient. He knows all things. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's omnipresent. He means he's always with you. And that God is Emmanuel, is Jesus Christ. That means that he can and he does and he will arrange every circumstance of your life to work out for your good and for his glory. And then the last three verses and we will be done for tonight. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. God's kingdom extends over all things. So all of creation is called upon to bless the Lord, the Creator, the Redeemer, the Almighty God. Remember, David begins singing private worship. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. How many of you know that the Bible says that when we praise the Lord, I don't know how this all works, but there's a chorus in heaven that is also praising God. And so David begins praising solo, and he ends up writing, oh, while I'm praising you, the angels are praising you. All of heaven is praising you. All heaven breaks out when we praise God. And so we forget, we end tonight with how we started. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, bless his holy, his wonderful.
Join us on Monday at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.